Thank you, Lord. This is Sunday morning, 2/27/22, learning to flow in the supernatural. We're going to look at the good, bad, and the ugly concerning intercessors. The Lord gave me some insight yesterday. So what are intercessors supposed to do? Well, we're going to look at a scripture here. This is Romans chapter 8, verse 26 through 28. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. So intercessors have a calling to allow the Holy Spirit to intercede through them God's will. We see here in these scriptures, the ultimate objective is for the intercessor to join with the Holy Spirit and pray God's perfect will concerning the situation. Danny brought up a good point a couple of weeks ago when he said we need to speak that the intercessor should not get off track and get out of God's will. In other words, intercessors, it appears, seem to think they know best. Now I'm going to read to you some things out of the book by C. Peter Wagner, Prayer Shield. It was an eye-opener to me. And so just bear with me as I read these. You will be able to identify with what I'm saying. We've had experience with rogue intercessors before. All right, let me find the first. You know what? I'm not going to read out of this one. This one is wrong. This is Apostles and Prophets by C. Peter Wagner. I'm going to read that first. Keep it in order here. Apostles need personal intercessors. Here's a very important axiom. The higher individuals move in a Christian leadership, the higher they move on Satan's hit list. Spiritual warfare becomes more and more intense for them, and therefore increased protection is absolutely necessary. Every leader is personally responsible for putting on the full armor of God that we read about in Ephesians 6, including the shield of faith. But it does not follow from this that such individual protection will suffice in every case. It is a necessary starting point, but there is more. God has also given the spiritual gift of intercession to many members of the body of Christ, and some intercessors have received specific calls or assignments to stand in the gap for Christian leaders. I wrote in my book, 1992 book, Prayer Shield, in order to help connect pastors to the intercessors who should be praying for them. I believed then, and I believe now, that this is the most important book I've ever written for pastors. Since then, I've heard numerous testimonies from leaders whose lives, families, and ministries reached new levels as soon as they began to receive prayer from personal intercessors. Personal intercession and prayer covering is not only a good theory, but it is also one of those theories that definitely works. In Prayer Shield, the word apostles does not appear because when I wrote the book, apostles had not yet appeared on my mental radar screen. If I were to write the book today, however, it should go without saying that I would stress strongly the absolute need for apostles to enlist intercessors as their personal prayer shields. It might be that all Christian leaders, apostles need intercession more than any other group. Having said this, I must record my surprise when I discovered that not just one, but many recognized apostles have not yet taken the need for personal intercessors very seriously. I hope the state of affairs changes rapidly, and I'm confident that it will. Actually, I'm finding that some apostles have never really thought of recruiting intercessors, but as soon as they hear about it, they begin to do it. Two of the most prominent apostles of the New Testament, Paul and Peter, are leaders who serve as examples of the positive ministry of intercessors. In writing to the Philippians, Paul mentions two women there, Euodia and Syntyche, who in all probability served Paul as personal intercessors. Paul speaks of them as these women who labored with me in the gospel. Philippians 4:3. A more literal translation of the text would be these women who did spiritual warfare on my behalf. My wife Doris and I have 22 personal intercessors who continually do spiritual warfare on our behalf. And we are convinced without them the enemy would have taken us off the picture or out of the picture long ago. They are the most important group of people in our lives with the exception of our immediate family. At one point, the enemy tried hard to take Peter out of the picture, using King Herod as his chief instrument. Herod had two Christian leaders on his hit list at the time, James and Peter. He succeeded in killing James, but he could not kill Peter. Why? Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Later on, we get the detail that the prayer meeting for Peter was held in the house of Mary, the mother of Mark. It could well be, therefore, that Mary served as what I would call Peter's I-1 intercessor. Powerful prayer can save lives. Okay. I heard this week there's a pastor, it's author something. I think he's from Russia or somewhere, but he lives in Canada, and he's a very bold. I mean, he kicked federal agents out of his church when they were going to come in and shut him down and impose restrictions on him, and he's been thrown in jail, and he's been out of jail. Now he's been thrown in jail again. And so they're treating him so inhumane, they're treating him like an animal. So we need to be praying for Pastor Arthur is his name. He's a lion, and he's tough as a boot. But I'll tell you what, these people are unconscionable. I'll just say that. Okay, let me continue. This is me talking. Intercessors are to aid the minister in God's commission, not to steer it off course. Couldn't find this section of C. Peter Wagner's book, but I will just mention it because it made an impact on me. Intercessors, and especially prophets, have a heavy responsibility on them to know who to tell and what to sit on. Peter tells of times when the prophets or intercessors heard from God but said nothing to him but waited for the Lord to speak to him, and when he did, they confirmed it. This is a perfect example of working as a team. When it comes to intercessors in general, they can cause more harm than good. I hope what I'm saying here today is bearing witness with you and for any and all that will listen to this recording in the future, so they can understand how this ministry works and that we are not traditional. We're not the way, you know. I know that you've heard some of this before, but I wrote it down as the Lord was speaking to me further about this. It fits perfectly in line with intercession that forgot their place. Intercessors that forgot their place. They got out of their place and caused harm to the kingdom of God. In 1995, while we were holding Sunday morning services in the gym, while I'm teaching, one of the women stood up and began to come against me verbally. I honestly don't remember a lot of what she said. First, I was in absolute shock for the disrespect. I have always put what God gives me at high priority. I don't just stand up and flippantly talk and say stuff. I listen to God and I hear from God about what I bring. I do remember her criticizing me because I used the dictionary in the Strong's Concordance. She said she had her own at home, so she didn't need me to use it at church. Bottom line is, they in their infinite wisdom thought that Danny should be the pastor and not me. The year before, when we were approached by the pastors to take over the church, Danny made it very vocal that he wasn't the pastor, and he said, and I quote, "It's not me." The Lord had already spoken to me about it. He said, you are the pastor, a few months earlier. Well, of course, the pastor did not think so, so there you go. It tied my hands. Getting back to the gym, I was devastated. I felt so betrayed. These people came in my home on Wednesday nights, never contributed anything, and now they're going to run me off? I was so insecure back in those days and had been treated bad by people all my life, so I thought I thought that I must have been the one that had done something wrong. I went home, went to bed for a couple of days, and I had a dream. It was a story out of one of Brother Hagin's books. I couldn't find it, so about a pastor that his intercessors tried to run him off. The intercessors were praying, and they said the Lord showed them that it was time for him to go. Problem is, the Lord hadn't told him that. It split his church 2 or 3 ways. But he learned a hard lesson about taking charge of the intercession and not letting a bunch of cackling hens venture off of there on their own. You know, the woman was deceived. Well, I got up and read that, and the Lord said to me to get out of bed and stop acting like that, that I had done nothing wrong. Well, as a result, they all left. Danny got up the next Sunday and told them, I don't even remember what he said, but they all left. There was an older lady that had a ministry that came to our fellowship, and I even let her speak one Sunday. She was the mother of one of these intercessors, so don't know if she had anything to do with this insurrection. If she did, it probably ruined her ministry, because everyone that was involved in that has had not good things come about in their lives. Only one out of all the group came and apologized 2 years later for what they had done. Everyone that had anything to do with insurrection have had to deal with the repercussions of what they did. One couple did come to me 2 years later and apologized because they said the blessing had left their house. For many years, I've always felt that this happened because maybe we were out of God's timing, but I don't believe so now. It was an attempt of the devil to get us out of God's will. I've known since 1994 basically what the Lord wanted me to do, and that has not changed, and it won't change. Not the basic commission, setting people free from the strongholds of their mind. 3 of the women actually had words from the Lord about this ministry. It was in this group that were in the insurrection. Yet they were all instrumentally yielding to Satan to take this ministry down. They didn't take it down, did they? It is ironic that at the church that I was secretary at, I was also over a group of intercessors on Sunday morning. The Lord knew what he was doing way back then, getting me ready for what I'm going to do in the future. Now you can maybe understand why I'm the way I am. I will not put up with anything when it comes to coming against this ministry. You come against it and you're out as far as I'm concerned. I'm not intimidated and you're taking your tithes and offerings with you either. I will respectfully listen to anyone that's heart is right, but as far as I'm concerned, people are here to hear what the Lord has to say. I've told people before that they are not here to boss me. It isn't happening. That does not mean that I do not miss it at times and I won't hear instructions. That's not what I'm talking about. But it will be with respect or it won't be at all. In other words, intercessors tend to think, they start thinking a thing or God shows them something and they start running with it and they start wanting to come and correct the leader. And they want to tell the leader thus and thus and thus. Well, God shows them that for a reason, to pray for the leader, to correct the thus and thus and thus. It seems that people can go into the military or go to college and listen to all the experts and never say a word, but when it comes to the things of God, their flesh riles up. I do not answer to anyone concerning this ministry except God, and I will be the one to hear him say, what did you do with what I gave you? I alone will stand before him and give an account, not you. I plan to hear him say to me, well done, thy good and faithful servant. That's top on my list. It's not about growing people. And I fully expect that to happen, but that's not the priority. Never has been. Just like this morning, the television programs messed up again. And I said, Lord, what am I to do about this? Because I told my producer, I said, you tell them I want recompense for this broadcast. But then I thought later of it, I thought the Lord kind of redirected my thinking. He said, no, tell them to air it at a decent time. And you can pray that that program will redirect to whoever needs to hear it that doesn't tune in on Sunday. You know, what God, the devil means for harm, God turns for good. Look at it that way. Start redirecting that program into maybe other areas. All right, Ezekiel 22:30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Ecclesiastes 10:8. He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. Now, we are supposed to be a team, not lone wolves. We're supposed to be a team. The intercessors work with the minister. We're a team. It's like when Peter and Paul, they went and did their stuff and they get thrown in jail or whatever. Those intercessors are behind the scene praying them out of that jail. Not, well, you know, they're getting thrown in jail too much. I think God's through with them. All right, Acts chapter 12. I'm going to read the story of Peter here. This is the best example I know of in Scripture of intercessors working as a team with an apostle. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Would it be that all the whole church is interceding? Wouldn't that be something? Not just a group, especially just a group of women. When Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals, and so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. When Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. As Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was so. Then said they, it is his angel. You know they were praying in the spirit. They had to be. That's what let them loose, was hooking up with the Holy Spirit for God's will to be accomplished. They weren't just praying in the flesh because they didn't even believe it. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he beckoning unto them with a hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. He departed and went into another place. Yeah, they were a team. Read you a few more scriptures and that'll be all of this. 2 Corinthians 1. 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Know how you feel. I know exactly how you feel. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also help one together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. They thought they were going to die. It was so bad. But God delivered them, because they helped together in prayer. All right, Ephesians 6. We all know this. We're all to be armed at all times. Part of our armor, though, is prayer. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. In other words, don't just be praying for yourself. You be praying for the team, praying for the body of Christ, praying for those out there on the field doing God's work, the moving army. All right, Philippians 1:19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That's what intercessors do. Whether realized or not, the body of Christ are a team, and the time has come. No more man for himself, but we must move as one and do our part to overcome the evil one. All right.